Worth Repeating is made possible by series sponsorship from the 8020 Foundation, the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture, and the Lifshutz Foundation.
Some of the stories may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the Worth Repeating podcast. I'm Tori Poole. This is the second part of the live storytelling event recorded at the Edema and Emilio Nicolas Media Center at Texas Public Radio in downtown San Antonio. The theme was Creeped, stories about supernatural occurrences, sightings, hauntings, and sometimes creepy people. Can you think of a time that you were creeped out? Our next storyteller is Dan Stegelman. Dan shares a story about a person that wouldn't miss their favorite party.
So there it was, the first Friday of August in 2018, and I'm on a flight with my wife, Elizabeth, our friend, Nikki, and we were called upon to go to Baltimore to support the third annual Crab Bake and Carchetti family reunion for our friend, Lisa. Lisa needed our help because she'd become a widow earlier that year on the 2nd of May. Charles had died of thyroid cancer. Charles had lived with thyroid cancer for the better half of a career as an Army physician. He was a family medicine physician and actually stationed just up the road at Fort Cavazos. In 2017, the Army allowed him to retire, did a full career, didn't retire him early, and then joined Lisa in Maryland. So he helps put on the second annual Crab Bake and Family Reunion. Charles was an accomplished chef. He liked putting together a brisket. He knew how to put it together, stayed up the whole night with it and cooked. The next day, where four generations of people show up, he becomes the natural center of attention. You see, Charles, 6'4", piercing blue eyes, a left eyebrow that would go up into his forehead, and telling you, this is a really good story. Not least of which because he was a prankster. You see, he had an affinity for birds, and one of his favorite things he had was an alarm clock that cock-a-doodle-doo! So when guests would stay at their house, and his guests, not so much Lisa's guests, but his guests, the alarm clock would find itself in an inconvenient place in the bedroom where the guest would stay. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, cock-a-doodle-doo, and where is this infernal thing? And Charles would be convulsed with laughter in his bed, leaving Lisa to wonder, is this the most horrible man I have ever known, or is he the most fiendishly clever? They had a deep love. So after the events of that second reunion, and he's the center of attention, he turns to Lisa and says, you know, I've been awfully short of breath all day. And you see, Lisa was a psychiatrist, herself a doctor, and she knew this was a big deal because Charles had had one of his lungs removed previously to remove some of the thyroid cancer. They end up in the emergency room. They find a pleural effusion, fluid between the lung and the chest wall, compressing the lung, making it really hard to breathe. They put in a chest tube, and Lisa is furious. How could you wait this long to tell me that you were short of breath? With the earnestness of a four-year-old, I didn't want to miss the party. So there we are on the eve of the third annual. We are preparing kebabs. We are preparing brisket in the manner specified. We're preparing chicken marsala. Lisa stays up that whole night preparing the brisket. I go to sleep with Liz and the other guest. We wake up the next morning with the sun. We get the crabs. People start arriving by 11:30. And at 1 o'clock, I'm there cooking the kebabs over the Weber grill. And the kebabs are just off the patio. And I can see the patio, the length of it down the house. And there's 1, 2, 3 ceiling fans. And it was a hot August day in Maryland. It was blue skies, no clouds, no precipitation, no thunder, no nothing. But ceiling fan one doesn't know it's a ceiling fan. Ceiling fan two is maybe drunk. It's a little faster. And ceiling fan three is doing such a good job. Maybe it's like on hyperdrive. Lisa, do you see this? Yeah, Dan, but there's a party going on. Okay, got it. So the afternoon progresses, and I get tired because it's been a hot day and we're preparing everything. I go take a nap. And in our bedroom, where there was no chicken alarm clock, the fan was set to gale force winds because that's how my wife likes to sleep. This one was also just kind of drunk and lazy. I wake up from my nap in time enough to see the guests leave at 6:30. And by 7 o'clock or so, it's just the quartet of us. My wife goes downstairs into the basement where there are no windows, so the only light is from above. And, hey, guys, I can't get the basement lights to turn on. So we go downstairs. That's kind of unusual. We go downstairs, and as I'm descending the stairs, I see the light above the stairwell is on, but is dim. I'm from California. We had brownouts. It looks like a brownout, but that's not the problem in all the other lights. We get downstairs, and the ceiling lights are bona fide off. Flip, 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 flip. You can't get them to turn on, but there's light down there. Where's this light? Oh, my God, the chickens are lit up. You see, when they lived at Fort Cavazos, they raised chickens and some fancy ones, too. And Lisa was a photographer, so she took pictures of these chickens and headshots high up on the wall and hired an electrician to spotlight the chickens high up on the wall. So there we are, the drunk ceiling fans, the brownout, the off lights, and the chickens bright as day. Is Charles with us? Well, I'm a doctor, too. I took an engineering course here or there. I'm going to go check out the circuit board. It's normal, guys. It's all on. Start flipping them off, and that didn't change the behavior. Start turning back on. That didn't change the behavior. It's all just wackadoodle. Is Charles playing a prank on us? Can you speak to the dead? God damn it, Charles! If this is you, knock it off! For 2 minutes, the lights come back on. The electrical problem has resolved itself. And 2 minutes later, the same stuff happens, but then there's an auditory component. Shh. We're like, where is that? There's no television. There's no radio. Oh, my God, it's coming out of the electrical outlets. You could walk up to an outlet, and you just hear the current coursing through the house. Lisa does a survey of the property. She walks through every room, and the only place where there is not a problem is where Charles died and where their bedroom was. That night, she calls the electrician after we have gone to sleep. Electrician comes over like at midnight. It's rural Maryland. She knows this person. There's nothing wrong with your house, Lisa. There's no electrical problems here at all. We wake up the next morning. Everything is great. We return in 2022 and 2024, and everything is fine. So, Charles, we hope you are at peace. We hope you are among those you love. We miss you dearly, but we're very glad you are with us that third annual Crab Bacon Carcetti Family Reunion.
It's pretty cool that Charles knew he was exactly what the party needed. Worth Repeating returns this fall, and I want to hear from you. Take some time and tell us what you thought of this past season. Suggest some themes for next year, or maybe just give us our flowers. Visit tpr.org/WR and fill out the survey today. Not a survey guy or gal? You can shoot me an email directly at worthrepeating@tpr.org.
This program was made possible with support from the 80/20 Foundation, striving to transform San Antonio by issuing grants to public charities that attract, grow, and retain San Antonio's future workforce. For this and more information, visit 8020foundation.com.
Our next storyteller is Joaquin Muerte. Joaquin shares a story about a night at a radio station where there was a special on-air guest.
So I come from a small town by the name of Del Rio, specifically in the barrio named San Felipe. I was raised up in a very spiritual family. We are Azteca Mexica Danzante Concheros. So the Danza Conchero is a synchronized danza that comes from way back in the day. I'm talking about pre-colonial times, right? I was raised up in a house where there was always copal and sage, and there was always a little dark shadow that we just allowed to be in the space. It was possibly my grandmother. I had a small epiphany happen to me when I was about 9 years old and experienced something that gave me some abilities and brought me sleep paralysis. I got visitations on a regular basis from owls and some stuff like that. Even the possibility of touch heal when I was younger. You can hear about that on my podcast. It's called the Chicanx versus Aliens podcast. If you guys have Spotify, I talk about it and tell that full story. The one thing that I loved about being a conchero was that I grew up as a kid going to ceremonies, native ceremonies, all the time. And when I was hanging out at the ceremonies as a kid, I would hang out with all the other sons and daughters of the danzantes and the leadership that were there. one of the things that they introduced me to was hip hop. And I'm talking about underground hip hop, Artifacts, Souls of Mischief, Wu-Tang Clan. I'm talking about 1992, 1993 when it was just popping off. And so I right away started to freestyle. I learned how to break dance. I learned how to pop lock. I was like really into like collecting the tapes and reading the liner notes and finding out more about more hip hop. So I got better and better at freestyle rapping. And I was like really good. Don't ask me to do it right now. I'm not going to do it right now. I'm not that good no more. But I got really good at it. And so growing up in the ceremony, some of those kids that I grew up with and myself, we rap a lot, and I started writing a lot and making my own music, right? I started the skateboard, and this one skateboard company in my hometown asked me to write a rap commercial. And they said, come record a rap commercial, and we'll pay you for this in clothes. And so I was like, yeah, all right, you know, I could do it. So they said, go to the radio station and go and, you know, tell them what you want, show them what you wrote, show them what you're going to do, and then tell them exactly how you want to do it. I said, okay, cool. So I go to the radio station. The guy was like, I love your voice. You have a great voice. Why don't you come work for us? And I was like, hell yeah. Like, I mean, I was in high school. I was going to be a radio DJ. And so he said, well, great. You know, come here, you know, next week, whatever. You start Monday. It was kind of like that. Like, I just started working right away. And so then the shift that they gave me was from midnight to 6 in the morning. So I was working with all the HEB stockers and all the folks that were working overnight. And, you know, in Del Rio, it's a border town, so the maquilas have overnight staff too. So I was playing music, and people were calling me all the time. When I first got the job, somebody said, so the rules are, you know, do no radio silence whatsoever. If there is radio silence, we got to call somebody and make sure that we don't get in trouble, through the FCC. We can get fines, we can get penalties, all that. And so I was like, okay. And then they said, also, we think the place is haunted. And I was like, well, tell me a little bit about that. So the guy was telling me how, like, you know, you're in the booth right here, and there's a window, and that one of the main co-owners or stakeholders had seen something that really, really scared him. And I was like, well, you know, like, I grew up with shadows and stuff, like, no big deal. Like, I grew up with limpias and stuff. I can figure it out, you know, no big deal. And so So anyway, the guy before my shift was a guy by the name of Michael Love. Michael Love was one of those like radio station dudes, and he'd be like, this is the Love Hour with Michael Love. And I was like, you know, whatever. I kind of was with my little backpack and my little hip hop tapes and stuff, ready to be all like, whatever, man. And I would get there and he'd be all like, hey, come on in, bro. Like, you know, whatever. You want some Coke? You know, and I'd be like, and he'd be there. The rule was no people were allowed to be in the booth. He always had like one girl on each side, and they were always like really skimpy. And so like I would kind of like just be there, just kind of like, as soon as you're done, bro, like you can split, you know, like I'm just kind of like, get out of here. So one night he was like taking his time. It was one of those guys that at the hour that he was at, the party was happening in my small town. It was always like people were cruising, they were parking, they were listening to the radio, it was popping. So he was like a celebrity. So one day I'm there with him. And, you know, he's kind of like, all right, man, I'm about to sign out. You know, one more song and then I'm going to sign out. I was like, all right, cool. So then, like, we're all hanging out. I'm just kind of chilling in the booth, just kind of like annoyed. And then the whole radio station just powers down. Oh, crap. So we're like, we have to, like, report this. We got to say something. So right away, I'm, like, looking for the paperwork. And he's all like, oh, everybody calm down. I'll be all right. And in the hallway, there was a small light that also was, like, lighting the hallway. It was a kind of a dark radio station. The light just flickers on. The whole station was off. Radio was silent. The whole place was, you can tell when the radio was off, you could feel the electricity all off, except for this one flickering light in the hallway. So we all look back to see the light and walk past the hallway in that booth, walks past this like shadow. And the shadow had like this tall brim, long brim. It was like 7 feet tall, and it just like, and everybody's like freaks out, man. There's nothing I can do about it. My shift just started. So I was like, so they literally got up and they left. They ran out the door, and I was there with my little backpack and was just like, so a couple observations, right? Everything came back on. I made sure that I wrote down the thing. I called the boss, let him know that I was there. I called a couple friends. They weren't allowed to come in, so they had to hang out outside with me, and I'd go outside and just be at the door. At the time, I was smoking cigarettes, and we'd be with the door open with a cigarette. And but there was a couple questions that I had now. What was that? What was happening in that radio station that that type of ghost came? The other thing was that in my growing up with sleep paralysis, I had seen that type of entity in my dreams before. Was that a sleep entity coming out? Was that something that was manifesting itself from what I was experiencing? Was that a ghost of that area? The area had a history of a Native American either battleground or burial ground or something. That's Del Rio. Del Rio is a Comanche, land of the Comanches. And so that remained the question. Another piece that we were observed was that that the ghost was taller, and they believe that when you are floating in another dimension, you float at least a couple feet above. Anyway, the mystery remains.
Let's face it, radio stations are kind of creepy, and even more so now. Worth Repeating relies on supporters like you. Supporting your favorite programs is important now more than ever. I ask you every show, and now I'm asking you every podcast. If Worth Repeating is a program that you turn to with fidelity, consider becoming a new or increasing your sustaining membership. You can do so by visiting tpr.org and clicking the red donate button today. You can leave a personalized note and tell them Tori said, meow, 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 meow.
This program was made possible by the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture, striving to enrich the quality of life of San Antonio residents and visitors by creating art programming and helping people experience art. For this and more information, visit getcreativesanantonio.com.
Our final storyteller is Justin Governall. Justin shares a story about an unexpected night on the town with a dude he just met.
So I know it's hard to believe. A couple years ago, I matched with a supermodel on Tinder. Yeah, pretty cool, right? And I put my height on there and everything, right? So she starts asking me, we match on this date, and she wants to go see Marlon Wayne. He's a comic, right? And so I buy these two tickets. They're $50 a ticket. She even asks me, what are you going to wear? And I pick out an outfit. And, you know, whatever, we match. And then she tells me, tell me when you're there. I'm in the parking lot. I want to walk up at the same time. We're walking up. Right when I get there, she's like, where are you? I'm like, I'm right here. You know, and she's a beautiful supermodel. None of my friends believe me. I'm like, look at this girl. And then sure enough, right, she's like, oh, sorry, got cold feet. Blocks me. Just boom. Right? Aw, so sad, right? Anyway. So I you know, I'm going to go into this comedy show now by myself. I'm like, well, I'm not going to let this go to waste. So as I'm walking in, I have my tickets, and they're scalpers because it's sold out, right? So I'm like, whatever. I'm walking in. Hey, I don't want this to go to waste. Does anybody want it? And this random dude is like, oh, me, please. And it's two guys and two girls or two couples. So he's like, I'll buy it from you. I say, dude, don't worry about it, man. Like, I don't want to lose my money. Here. I give it to him, and he says, cool, dude, can I just buy you a beer after the show? I'm like, yeah, of course, man. So whatever. I go in, I watch the show. Show's great. It's hilarious, right? We're done. And, you know, when I'm leaving, I see my buddy. And he's like, hey, bro, we're going to go to this bar around the corner. Let me buy you that beer, man. I'm like, yeah, for sure. So we go in. And then I notice that it's two guys and two girls. They're couples. And I start noticing they're not together. So I'm like, okay, cool. So he starts, oh, her, don't worry about her. Dude, dude, do you want to hook up with her? And I'm like, buddy, I'm a Marine. I'll fuck anything, right? That's a long time ago. I'm a changed man now, you know? But, yeah, dude, thank me for my service, dude. Anyway, so yeah, man. So he's, you know, I start talking to this girl, and then he's like, yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, what do you think about this girl? And he starts showing me all these girls that he's friends with, right? And he's like, which one do you want to hook up with him? I'm like, all of them, right? Like, And so he says, you know what, dude? And he's real cool. He's real bro. He's like, get my number. And I'm like, yeah, cool. And he goes, send me a text so I have your number. I'm like, yeah, cool. And so for whatever reason, with like, I just got out of the military, like my Marine humor, you know, he's like, send me a text. So I send him a bunch of squirt emojis and an eggplant, right? Yeah. And so he looks at it and he looks at me and he smiles and he sends back eggplant, squirting emoji, and hard eyes, right? And I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude. This guy's cool. He's a bro, you know? And so, so time passes, right? And, you know, this couple says, we're going to step outside. And they go outside and they start arguing and stuff, right? And, you know, and then this girl gets a phone call that he's with and she says, I'll be right back. They're arguing. She runs outside. It's me and, you know, homeboy. He's a cool guy. You know, he's going to let me bang his friend. So he's really cool, right? And then he gets a call and he's like, hey, let's go outside, man. Like, you know, things are crazy out there or whatever. And we go outside and I start realizing that there's cops now involved and they have the one couple and the other girl sitting down. I guess they got violent, right? And so the guy's like, I want nothing to do with this. And then they turn and they look at me and him and they point at us, right? And then the cops look at us and start walking. So the guy, I've never met this guy. He's like, dude, just start walking. And for some reason, I just start walking with him, right? Yeah. And yeah, thank me for my service too. Anyway, so I'm walking with this guy, you know, and out of nowhere, he was really cool the whole time. He's like, yeah, bro, real macho, right? Like, and he ends up saying, dude, I know I just met you, man, but do you mind if I just crash your place, bro? And it's like, I lived in California at the time. It's like beach towns and stuff. So I was like, yeah, you know, for sure, brother, you know, like. And so I bring this dude home. Everything's cool. Again, he's super cool, super respectful. And right as we're getting to my apartment, right, I pull into like the driveway to my spot. And I pull in and right when I'm pulling in, he says, hey man, why'd you go to that comedy show alone? And I'm like, yeah, I got catfished by some supermodel, man. She wasn't real. And he's like, yeah, dude, you shouldn't have gone alone. You're like, you're attractive. And I'm like, thanks, man. And then he says, no, you're like really attractive. I turn my car off and I'm like, all right, right on. Thanks for the compliment, brother, you know. Hombre, you know. And so I start walking up to my apartment and like right as I put my key in, I like jiggle my key and I look at him. I'm like, I don't normally do this, right? But no, I'm just kidding. It's a joke. Relax, right? So I walk in and it's California. We have roommates. We got a guy like renting out the living room. It's California, right? And so, you know, my roommate's in the living room on his huge mattress, right? Just smoking weed. He's hitting a bong. And I walk in with this random dude I just met and I go to my room because my charger's gonna die. Like my phone's gonna die, so I need my charger. So I walk into my room and this man just throws himself on my bed, just boom, right? And I'm like, okay, cool. So I get my charger and I go back out to the living room and my roommate's just hitting this bong. And I start getting these text messages. It's from an unsaved number. Last text messages are squirt emojis and eggplants, right? And he's like, Justin, are you coming? And I'm like, psst. And it's like, Justin, and my roommate hitting the bong. Justin, come lay down. Justin, are you coming? Justin. And it says, come cuddle. And I'm like, oh my God. And my roommate's just, right? So I turn my phone and I show it to my roommate and we're single dudes always bringing like different girls home at the time, right? And so like, I show him the phone and he's like, and then as he's inhaling the smoke, he's like, who's that? And I'm just like looking at my room and I'm just pointing to my room. And he blows out all the smoke. He goes, I'm way too high for this shit, right? So I remember I have a pistol in my room, right? And so I'm like, oh shit, there's this random strange man in my room that I brought home, right? For whatever reason. Thank me for my service, dude, what the fuck? And so I go in and I grab my pistol, right? And then I go and I lay down on the couch. And as I'm laying down on the couch, like I went to the Iraq War, right? So I'm like laying down with my pistol and he's got a pistol too technically in my room, right? But like, So I'm laying down, right? And I keep hearing noises, right? And every time I would hear a noise, it was just my cat Harambe, right? And I was like, I would wake up like, damn it, Harambe, don't you know you have a 1,000% higher chance of getting shot for just having the name Harambe right now, right? Like 2016, right? And so, you know, I keep waking up and I'm like panicking, right? And so, you know, in the morning I wake up and I, for whatever reason, I walk up to him and I'm like, hey, bro, you got to go. I got to go teach a jiu-jitsu class. And for whatever reason, I gave him a green apple and a glass of water, right? And he wakes up, ah, oh, bro, what happened last night, brother and man? And I was like, yeah, you got to go, dude. So whatever. He leaves. He starts sending me some text messages like, sorry, I don't know what happened. I tell him like, it's all good. Not my thing, man. He's like, LOL, you should have came and cuddled, right? So I go and I teach a jiu-jitsu class in the morning. And there's a guy named Mike Ness. I don't know if you know of him. He's like the king of punk rock, right? He trained in my gym and they're waiting for me to unlock the door. So I start telling him the story. What happened last night? I'm like, bro, this and that. This guy, he's in my room. And I get to the point where, you know, and Mike Ness is all covered in tattoos up to the neck. So I get up to the point where I'm like, dude. And then I told him he had to go. And then they're like, and then what happened next? I'm like, dude, I gave him a glass of water and a green apple. And then Mike Ness looks at me with tattoos on his neck and he goes, you gave him breakfast, you fucking cock tease? And then I blocked him and I ghosted him. And that's pretty creepy. Anyway, I'm Justin Governall. Thank you so much.
I think the lesson that we learned here is that Justin needs to be careful which emojis he shares with whom. That's it for the Worth Repeating podcast. Do us a favor and give us a like, subscribe, or review us wherever you stream podcasts.
This program is made possible by the Lifshutz Foundation, an arts, culture, and humanities fundraising organization.
Support for Worth Repeating comes from the 8020 Foundation, the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture, and the Lifshutz Foundation. Worth Repeating is a production of Texas Public Radio. I'm Tori Poole. Thanks for listening.